Word up, Word of Mouth Wednesday. Yes, we can. It is November 5th, 2008. Change has come to the USA. Barack Obama has been elected the 44th President of the United States of America, and history was made last night. This is the Word of Mouth Wednesday for November 5th, 2008. My name is Daniel Libyan. For today's show, I produced a segment recorded at the New Democratic Party of Ontario leadership debate that took place on the weekend, and it features the candidates' response to the questions of socialism in the NDP and some candid interviews, including the topic of socialism during Obama's successful campaign for the President of the USA. Plus, we'll have an interview with legendary radio host Norman Otis Richmond on the topic of the Obama victory. Plus, we've got national and international news headlines, and Josephine Lim is also here. So stay tuned. Word of Mouth Wednesday. We'll be right back right after this.
For a taste of the islands, you're invited to dine in Jamaica. Jamaica in the City, that is. Akitree Jamaican Cuisine, 170 Spadina Avenue at Queen.
Come on!
All right, Word of Mouth Wednesday. We are back here on the show, and we're just going to get to our first segment of the show. This segment was actually recorded on Saturday, November the 1st, a few days ago, and it was actually the Ontario NDP leadership debate, and it featured four candidates. The four candidates that are there, you'll hear some clips on the topic of socialism, because that was one of the main topics, because the organizers were the Socialist Caucus of the NDP, and this is the new Democratic Party. Probably one of them will be the future leader of the Ontario NDP, unless some other candidates step forward. But what we'll do is we'll just throw it to that segment, and we'll be back with making sure we give you some info on who you're hearing. All right, here you go.
Are you a socialist? And how would you move the NDP to the left to fight for a socialist alternative?
Our first speaker, Brother Peter Tavins, MPP, Toronto Danforth.
I call myself a socialist, but I also want to call... If we want to actually have government democratically controlled by us having an impact in this society, then we have to take on some very big projects. We have to build a new energy economy. And you're starting to see it in Germany, 200,000 people working in renewable energy. In Quebec, where they require companies that want to sell wind turbines to have 60% of that wind turbine made in Quebec. You have to have investment in public enterprise, like public auto insurance. Bob Ray was wrong. People in this province want auto insurance they can afford. But the other thing is, if you want a democratic society and one that's conscious and able to direct itself, you have to build the popular institutions. You have to substantially expand unionization.
And our second speaker will be Brother Michael Prue, Beaches East Shore.
I think we need to invest in our economy as socialists, as New Democrats, but we need to have guarantees. And part of that is when companies come looking for money and when companies want to partner with government, that I want a share in the company and I want a seat on the board of directors at the table, and I want the unionists and the workers who work there to sit around that table too. And that's what we need to do as New Democrats. It's going to be a far greener economy, and we have to be out in front of that. It's going to be an economy that is not going to rely so much on transportation. The cost of oil and everything else is going to be too expensive. So it's an economy that has to be homegrown.
Our third speaker will be Sister Andrea Orvat from Hamilton Center.
And I think that's what the Socialist Caucus is talking about when they talk about transforming the economy so that it's the economy for people. But we also have to look at the other pieces. So, for example, one of those is a real child care program that we need to have in the province of Ontario. We need to know that working moms and working dads can rely on real child care that is quality child care that is universally accessible, and child care that is developmentally appropriate for the kids in child care. We need basic wealth redistribution so that everyone can live with dignity, with quality of life, and with a good, positive future. That's what we need in Ontario.
Our fourth speaker will be Jill Bisson from Timmins J. against them.
First of all, yes, I consider myself a socialist, but why else would I not be in the Democratic Party? Tommy Douglas and others understood the way to power and the way to affect change was through the economy. They basically didn't build health care as the first order of business in Saskatchewan. They built a stronger economy. And when Tommy managed to build a stronger economy and to put in place what was necessary on the economic front, he then, along with the rest of his colleagues in cabinet and in that caucus, did the first health care, public health care program in Canada. So we understand as social democrats that the economy is important. The problem is we've kind of lost our way. Who remembers the debates around the free trade? I remember being so frustrated in that federal campaign because the party didn't want to talk about free trade because they felt that we didn't have credibility on the economy. Hogwash. Social democrats have a lot more to say on the economy than anybody else. But I do see there is a crisis on the left, brothers and sisters. When I see Mr. Sarkozy calling for the end and the regulation of capitalism, I wonder how much room is there left for us on the left. Thank you, brothers and sisters.
Do you mind introducing yourself?
Yeah, I'm Joel Bisson, Provincial Member of Parliament for Timmins, James Bay, and running for leadership of the New Democratic Party. We as New Democrats have always been given good credit for where we stand on social policy issues. We're the party of public health care. We're the party of equity issues when it comes to women's rights, gay rights, labor rights, and others. And if we as New Democrats don't deal with the issue of the economy, I believe we'll be relegated to third party or opposition.
The organizers of this debate, the Socialist Caucus, probably a lot of the listeners might not even know that there is a socialist caucus.
Well, the party has many different caucuses within it. There's different groups, the socialist caucus, the francophone caucus, the union caucus. The socialist caucus brings, I think, a view that needs to be had and a debate that needs to happen within our party to remind us what our roots are, because it was Tommy Douglas who understood way back, and Mr. Coldwell and others, that this party is about social democracy. It's about how do we grow an economy so that people are able to live good lives, make a good wage, and then how do we as governments then provide the services that they need to find justice within our society. And I think the Socialist Caucus is important. They may not be the largest caucus in our party, but I think they're important in being able to hold our feet to the fire and to challenge us never to forget where we came from so that we know where we need to go.
Reporting here at the Socialist Canada New Democratic Party debate for the leadership of the Ontario New Democrats, do you mind introducing yourself?
My name is Peter Tappins. I'm the MPP for Toronto Danforth.
Great. And how did you think today's debate went?
To tell you the truth, I thought it was really good. I think the party needs these kinds of debates. It needs to rebuild, and part of that rebuilding is getting issues on the table, having a debate, having a dialogue. Members across Ontario are going to be drawn in and hopefully talk to a lot of them in forums like this where people get a chance to put questions.
The idea that there's a socialist caucus in the NDP, did you have any words on that?
We were set up as a socialist party. We have many different currents within us. We're a broad tent, and the socialist caucus has been active and organizing for a long time.
How do you think that Ontario can progress when it comes to environmental issues?
I should just say I used to be the executive director of Greenpeace here in Canada, and prior to that on Toronto City Council, I set up the city's energy efficiency program, the Better Buildings Partnership. I think Ontario has a tremendous opportunity to follow in the footsteps of places like Germany, Quebec, Pennsylvania, and start a new energy economy right here in Ontario. Build sustainable and renewable energy industries. For Ontario, it's a huge opportunity.
Good luck with the election.
Thank you very much. A real pleasure.
This is Daniel Libby reporting here at the NDP Ontario Leadership Debate. Do you mind introducing yourself?
Yeah, I'm Barry Weisletter, and I'm a co-chair of the NDP Socialist Caucus.
Nice. And how did you think everything went today?
I'm pleased with the participation by the officially declared candidates. I'm pleased by the turnout. We had 150 or more people. I think we managed to get pretty clear answers from the candidates on most of the issues that were presented. It was time well spent.
Definitely. And we're here at OISE Auditorium. Do you have any words on this venue?
It's easy to reach this location because it's at the St. George subway station, just above the station itself. Rebel Film Series we host here in this building in the spring and fall of each year under the auspices of Socialist Action. I had a conference here last May called A World in Revolt, anticipating some of the big economic issues we're dealing with now.
I was just wondering about the concept of the Socialist Caucus.
It was formed 10 years ago. I was one of the founders. along with, you know, 60, 70, 80 people at the initial convention. It consists of members of the NDP who want to push the party to the left, who favor a program of class struggle rather than class collaboration with the employers, who want to see the NDP differentiate sharply from the big business parties and fight for a working class agenda and for socialist solutions to the problems that we face in terms of the environment, in terms of the world economy, in terms of justice issues. We take resolutions to NDP conventions at the provincial and the federal level. We run candidates for party executive at all levels. We think that the NDP leaves a lot to be desired in terms of its policies, the way it functions internally, externally, and its present leadership. However, it's the only mass union-based political party in North America, and it's foolish for the left to ignore it. So we're trying to organize the left within the NDP, fight for a workers' agenda, and strengthen the socialist left inside and outside the party. So we're part of the anti-war movement, we're part of the anti-poverty movement for environmental priorities, for feminism. We think that the Socialist Caucus has an important role to play inside the only Labour Party in North America.
I know in the United States of America there's a big election going on now, and I've noticed that John McCain is bringing up an issue of socialism as a smear against Obama. Do you think that socialism is anything to be afraid of? Or?
No, obviously not. But I would say two things about that. First of all, the fact that he uses socialism as a smear tells you that socialism is on the political agenda because of the crisis of global capitalism and the extreme shock crunch on credit and on the major financial organizations which have been robbing working people for generations. That's one thing. It's on the agenda. To accuse Obama of being a socialist, I think, is ridiculous. He's an imperialist. He voted for the bailout, the trillion-dollar bailout for Wall Street, right? I'm not a supporter of the Democratic Party, and I regret that Obama is using his considerable talents to be the candidate for that party. I think we need a Labor Party in the United States. Socialism is real economic democracy, and we need that across North America and around the world.
Definitely, and one potential candidate that's not here, Peter Cormos. Do you have any words on MPP Peter Cormos?
Peter, if you're listening to this, it would be great if you ran as a candidate for Ontario Party leader, because you would inject sincerity, controversy, inspiration, excitement into the race. It's his decision to make, and I respect whatever decision he makes. We have collected hundreds of signatures for Peter Cormos urging him to run. He hasn't made the decision to run or to exclude the possibility yet.
For people who are interested in finding out more about the Socialist Caucus and the work you're doing, where can they find out?
They can visit our website, www.ndpsocialists.ca. They can give us a phone call, 416-535-8779.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for the opportunity.
This is Daniel Libby reporting for the Word of Mouth Wednesday with the legendary CKLN host Norman Otis Richmond. How did you feel about today's debate?
I think Prue and Toblin, is it? I think it was between those two in terms of who are the most progressive in terms of being the left of the NDP.
I guess it's exciting that there's an Ontario NDP leadership election going on, but I know the big election that's going on is going on in America, and we're probably going to be broadcasting on the day after. We'll probably know who won the election. Did you have any words on that election?
I support Cynthia McKinney and Rosie Clemente. However, between Barack Obama and Senator Obama and Senator McCain, of course, I'm for Obama, and Obama wins. I think he will give people a breathing space. However, I hope during his honeymoon he doesn't bomb Afghanistan. I'm worried about Obama because Obama is in the Democratic Party. We have to remember that in 1968 when people were protesting, it was the Democrats, not the Republicans, that were in power.
Right, and there was some talk of socialism at today's debate, and it was organized by the Socialist Caucus and the NDP. And in the American election, it seems like Senator McCain is using socialism as a smear.
Well, I think that Barack Obama, they're trying to make socialism to be a negative thing. And in the American context, you cannot talk about socialism without being branded being a mad person. But I think Obama knows about socialism, and he would probably be sensible enough, but he's still within the framework of the Democratic Party, and he got so much money from a certain sector of the ruling class that he's been taught not to talk about socialism.
CKLN 88.1 FM. We are back here live on the air, and that was the segment that I had recorded at the event that took place on Saturday, and it was the debate of the candidates for Ontario NDP leader. And of course, the controversial subject of socialism was brought up, controversial in some circles. And then you heard some of the candidates' response to the subject of socialism when it comes to the NDP. And I guess the fact that they all brought up was that the NDP had been founded on a socialist platform. And you heard from all four candidates, who are Peter Tabbins, Michael Prue, Andrea Horath, and Gilles Bisson, and they're all MPPs in the Ontario Parliament. And then I had the chance. The whole thing took place at OISE, and then afterwards I had the chance to speak with both Gilles Bisson and Peter Tabbins after the debate was over. So you heard some of their words in the interview portion, as well as an interview with one of the organizers of that debate, who was representing the NDP Socialist Caucus, and that was Barry Weisletter. For more information on that, you can check out, I think it was ndpsocialist.ca, for information on what they're trying to do inside the NDP, how they're trying to change the NDP. And then also I had a few words with Norman Otis Richmond, who was also at the debate on Saturday. And we're going to be hearing a bit more from the legendary CKLN host Norman Otis Richmond a bit later on in the show. But what we'll do right now is we'll recognize that the countdown is on. And today we're 75 days away from the day the Emperor of the American Empire, President number 43, George W. Bush, is scheduled to voluntarily leave office and hand the keys of the White House over to the next president-elect of the United States, Barack Obama. But until that big day, until that big day of celebration, January the 20th, 2009, we'll be celebrating the fact that an election was held and that the Democratic senator from Illinois has won both the popular vote and the Electoral College. So, democracy is returning to the USA, and in support of the 75-day countdown, in support of Mr. Barack Obama, we're going to be playing a song by Aaron P. Taylor, and it's called Obama, 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 oh, oh, Obama, 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 oh, oh, Obama.
Ladies and gentlemen, the next president of the United States of America, Barack
Obama, 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 Obama,
call him president, he's the next true president. He is senator from Illinois. Yeah, his criteria compared to John McCain, this isn't fair, cause he's BLAC, so the eyes are on T. Through his pencil, he write legislation with the country on his mind, and he don't coach, cause he ain't got time. Every second, minute, hour, KKK wanna devour. He got guards ready to pop him with their choppers. Every brother, mother, sister, cousin, grandma wanna hump him. Even got Hillary Clinton on the side, ready to jump them till the Clintons. I couldn't catch them, couldn't stop them. They go by the party rules. If you can't beat them, you can't top them. Thought you'd smack them, couldn't pop them. Delegates couldn't cop them. Bill Clinton couldn't help her, too bad she couldn't drop them. Man, Obama's so ill. Yeah. Obama goes here, Obama goes there, saying yes we can. The wife of Shelley, he's sitting in the very air. He traveled to Arizona, ready to cause some drama. Hope a McCain will come and
look at that bastard Obama. He's too young, he's too hip, Negroes always causing problems.
His pale looking face got him looking
like a goblin.
Please don't vote for Biden. First day up in office, talking about some heartbeat. Call the ambulance quick, all you hear is sirens. His temper isn't private. Dang, I hate a mad prick. Don't you hate a mad prick? Plus McCain's an old prick. Barack's a younger guy, so choose him, he's the right pick. But if you choose the wrong pick, your stepson will probably end up in Iraq quick. His healthcare plan is so immaculate, so even if you're broken, can't afford to take a doctor. You'll be feeling much better, not sick. And he's okay, but his wife's sick. And her back's thick, and her rock's slick. She's a fly chick, I hit.
Obama, Obama, Obama,
and Obama so ill.
Obama, 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 Obama.
He's making history like ex-King and Douglas and RFK Obama. He's that new black dude that
Whitney said he won't be Don McCain. He don't wear flags in his middle name's Hussein.
But who gon' be that boy down there? That boy they call Obama. Got Republicans sweating like they up in saunas. Even McCain's 90-something mama. Be ready to pull his lever every hour. But I'd rather eat a field mouse than see John McCain in the White House. Vote Obama in and I promise he won't turn back until some Uncle Thomas. No Aunt Jemima or Southern Fried Chicken. Call him Chief Obama or Mr. Keeps on Ticking. Man passed the riots, comments couldn't stop his tally. Even Oprah Winfrey said that she was right behind him. People, I say this country show hope without him. But he's gotta go out and relate to everybody. He do what he do, like give his wife a hug and then a fist gap. Gotta do that stuff in public so the hood will know that he's black. Gotta use big words, white people love to hear them. If they hear it, they don't fear him. They don't know him, but they feel him. That's real.
Obama, Obama, Obama,
Obama,
Obama, Obama, Obama, Obama,
White House.
Obama, 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 Obama.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
Word of Mouth Wednesday, November the 5th, 2008. We're going to start today with the international news. And the biggest news in the world today, Barack Obama was elected president of the United States of America, the first African-American president in U.S. history, with a record turnout of voters in the U.S. and a landslide victory for Barack Obama. More than 133 million people voted in this U.S. election, with a large increase in black and Hispanic voters, instrumental in Obama's victory.
And also in the U.S., gay rights advocates will challenge Proposition 8 in court as 52% of voters in California voted in favor of the bill which bans gay marriage. Lawyers for same-sex couples say they will argue that the anti-gay marriage measure was an illegal constitutional revision, not a more limited amendment, as Backer said.
And in Colombia, the commander of Colombia's army resigned abruptly yesterday in a widening scandal over the killings of civilians, allegedly spurred by promotion-seeking officers to inflate rebel body counts. General Mario Montoya did not mention the scandal as a factor in his retirement of 39 years of service. President Alvaro Uribe called Montoya one of the best generals the Republic has had. Montoya's resignation follows stinging criticism of an army policy he allegedly encouraged of promoting officers whose units kill the most leftist rebels. Human rights groups say that policy encouraged soldiers in recent years to kill scores, perhaps hundreds of civilians who were presented as guerrillas slain in combat.
And in Bolivia, Bolivia's President Evo Morales and Brazil's Lula da Silva want U.S. President-elect Barack Obama to eliminate the blockade against Cuba. Lula and Peruvian opposition leader Ollanta Humala highlighted that the policy of siege on Cuba, quote, has no human explanation. A release from the Venezuelan Foreign Affairs Ministry termed historic the November 4th election results and congratulated Obama for his victory.
And in Canada, the government of B.C. has agreed to return to B.C. First Nations thousands of hectares of reserve lands seized by the government almost a century ago. The B.C. government marked the occasion with a ceremony at the provincial legislature yesterday with four of 22 B.C. First Nations that almost lost 20,000 hectares. But Aboriginal leaders attending the ceremony and others who didn't want to attend said BC government needs to do much more than reconcile land deals that have been in the works for decades if it wants to build a new relationship. Grand Chief Stuart Phillip of the BC Aboriginal Leadership Council, a group which represents the First Nations Summit, Union of BC Indian Chiefs, and the BC Assembly of First Nations, did not attend the ceremony due to dissatisfaction with the Gordon Campbell government of BC. The claims settlements announced yesterday date back to the 1912-1916 McKenna-McBride Royal Commission, which was established to look into Indian reserve allocations in BC. And that's it for your word of mouth news today, November 5th, 2008. What we're going to do is just throw it to another music track. This one's for today. We'll be back with another segment right after this. Word of Mouth Wednesday. Yes, we can. It is a big day here on the planet, I guess, because we know that Obama has won it against all odds. They said that Al Gore could win it. They said that John Kerry could win it. Neither of those guys pulled it off, but Barack Obama did it. So we got to give him respect for, I guess, bringing the blue team back. The red team is out for a bit. But it's an interesting situation in the U.S. Let's just put it that way. We're going to get into the interview with Norman Otis Richmond, recorded about an hour ago. Unfortunately, we couldn't get Norman live because he had a conflicting arrangement going on right now. So we got him before he left the station. We recorded in Studio 2. And after we play this about a 10-minute conversation, maybe we'll just open up the lines in case anyone's got anything to say about the big day. Obama's been elected, and anything else you got to say in politics. So we'll do that at 416-595-1655. I'll give the number again after, just in case anyone's got anything to say. But without further ado, this is myself, Daniel Libby, speaking with legendary CKLN host, Norman Otis Richmond. This is the Word of Mouth Wednesday, and it's a big day. We got a big guest here. It's the great CKLN host, Norman Otis Richmond. Hello.
How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing all right, and I know this is the big day. Obama has won the President of the United States. So what's your immediate reaction to this victory?
Well, first of all, I must be honest. I was
rooting for Cynthia McKinney and Rosa Clemente of the Green Party. I don't support the Democratic Party. I think the Democratic Party is a war party, just like the Republican Party. But however, I think Barack Obama, hopefully he will represent a change, and he will be able to, the progressive forces will be able to hold his feet to the fire. If we couldn't have Cynthia McKinney and Rosa Clemente, Obama will have to do.
For sure. And you mentioned the Green Party, and I heard that they finished in sixth.
Yes, they finished in sixth place. Nader beat them in a few other parties, yeah. But I didn't get a count in terms of how many votes that they received, but didn't affect Obama's winning. And I was listening to Amy Goodman earlier this morning, and most of the people said that they supported Barack Obama in Harlem that she spoke to. However, there was one person who adamantly came out in support of the Green Party, and he had very good reasons for you know, his thinking. He seemed to have his head on straight.
Yeah, definitely. It seems like it's very strange that such a big country has only two choices, that you'd hope that some of these third parties could get closer.
Well, Gerald Horn, who comes on Saturday Morning Live every Saturday at 11:30, he's very happy about the fact, he's very adamant that one of the differences between the United States and Canada is first the question of health care, but the fact that Canada does have a third party, and the NDP is what makes the difference between the United States and Canada.
Could I ask you about the guy that finished third, Ralph Nader? Do you have any comments on him?
I would support Cynthia McKinney and Rosa Clemente over him because he's a great man on terms of the environment and that type of situation. But his position on race, for example, he's Lebanese, and he came in, you know, throughout the fact that Obama was not black enough, as if, you know, you could say, well, he's not Lebanese enough. How many people know that Ralph Nader is of Lebanese heritage? I mean, that is, Mumia Abu-Jamal criticized him for that. Ralph Nader is, I heard him speak when he was here in Toronto. He's a progressive person. He's done a lot of groundbreaking work. But like I say, I would go with the two women, Rosa Clemente, who was Puerto Rican, and Cynthia McKinney, who's African American. And Rosa Clemente is Puerto Rican, so I don't want to put the American thing on it because the Puerto Ricans are fighting for self-determination, and I'm certain that she would be for the independence of Puerto Rico.
Right, and we got to bring it back to the man of the hour, the man of the day, November 5th. It's Barack Obama's day. He's been made or named president of the United States, and I know I've heard you say that the Democratic Party is problematic. Could you tell us what it was like in the 60s? I remember you mentioning that the protests were actually against the Democrats.
Well, 1968, they had the Democratic Convention in Chicago. You know, the people were fighting against the Democratic Party because the Democratic Party was, they had the Democratic Party. First of all, African people in America, the party that ended slavery, believe it or not, was the Abraham Lincoln's Republican Party. And, you know, you have to keep that in mind. And then the Republican Party became the rich people's party. And then the Democratic Party got the support of African people in the United States. However, there was a wing in the Democratic Party was the redneck element. Like, that was very, very problematic. And it was, you know, the Democrats, they were in power when America went to war against Vietnam. And Jerry Rubin, Bobby Seale, and a lot of people got into a whole lot of trouble at the 68 Democratic Convention in 1968. And I don't think we can forget that.
The other party, the Republican Party, during those times, would they be considered more of a peaceful party, or were they as
protested? Oh, no. They were. Two parties in America is basically the same party, the Republican Party, which I think Mumia talks about, the Republican Party. And I think there are some differences in African, black people, Latinos, Asian Americans, Native Americans, women, by and large, support the Democratic Party for reasons. I mean, there's no comparison between John McCain and Barack Obama and Joe Biden, as bad as he is. There's a lot of differences between he and Sarah Palin. Mm-hmm. I think Sarah Palin is compared to Hillary Clinton. I mean, there's no contest. I mean, I might have differences with Hillary Clinton's politics, but Hillary Clinton is, you know, is a formidable intellectual. She might even have more in her head than and William Jefferson Clinton, who, once again, who I don't think too much of politically, but the man is brilliant intellectually.
Right. And how about up here in Canada? How do you feel that an Obama presidency will affect the relationship with the U.S.?
Oh, I think, first of all, I think Barack Obama is not a Jesse Jackson, or he is not a Al Sharpton. And I think he will get along fine with Stephen Harper or whoever the next prime minister after his Stephen Harper may be, because Barack Obama is a gentleman and a diplomat. I mean, I think Obama, if, you know, once he finishes his term as president, he would be a good candidate for Ban Ki-moon or Kofi Annan's, I mean, ambassador for the UN. He's likable, and, you know, he's perceived as being fair. He'll be able to handle Stephen Harper, and Stephen Harper will have to be able to handle him.
Right, and I had mentioned George W. Bush before, and then we know that Obama's coming in next. He's the president-elect. Do you think that this could be a situation where we go from the worst president to the best?
I think Obama is inheriting a mess. He could be the best president and not be able to enact that because of what he is inheriting. I mean, he is inheriting two wars. I mean, you know, the economy's in the worst shape since 1929. Obama is the first person who has actually, that has that much power, that has actually talked about speaking with Cuba. I mean, he's actually said he's open to like having a dialogue, you know, and hopefully he'll be able to do that. Hopefully he will not go into Afghanistan like he has said he would, because he says he's going to pull out of Iraq and going to Afghanistan to get Osama bin Laden. And hopefully bin Laden is very problematic, but I don't think that that's going to solve the world problems. Taking bin Laden out is, I think that's a political solution that has to be reached, and not a military. And first it was George Bush's party. And I think Drabinsky is one of Barack Obama's advisors. He is the man who stood on the borders of Afghanistan and talked about how the Muslims and the Christians could unite against the evil communists, and said Allahu Akbar. So, you know, Osama bin Laden was set up by the United States government.
I wanted to try to leave it on a positive note here that it is Obama has won the presidency. He not only won the Electoral College, but also the popular vote. We're seeing some democracy coming in the U.S. And how have you talked to anyone that you know down in the U.S.? How are people reacting?
Well, I spoke to my mother, and she said she is wearing an Obama cap and an Obama T-shirt, and she voted for Barack Obama. She's in Los Angeles. I spoke to my uncle, who is in Arcadia, Louisiana, which is where I was born, and he is very ill, and we were hoping that he would live long enough to see Barack Obama become president. So he definitely lived long enough to see Barack Obama become president, and he is satisfied and tickled, too. So I spoke to those two. One is 72, and one is 80. My mother's 80, is in her 80s, so she lived to see a black
change.
Although, according to some research, Obama is really the sixth black president of the United States. You know, really? There was a guy by the name of J.A. Rogers who says that Calvin Coolidge was a black president, William Harding, Thomas Jefferson, Andrew Jackson, and Abraham Lincoln were black. I mean, Joel Augustus Rogers. There's a book called Five Negro Presidents. If anybody wants to check it out, go to a different book list or knowledge bookstore, or I don't want to say the other people, but you know, go to a bookstore, and to an African-Canadian bookstore, and pick it up.
Oh, for sure. And Norman Otis Richmond, thanks a lot. I guess this discussion will continue on Diasporic Music.
Yes. And thank you for having me.
All right, great. I'll tune in tomorrow at Diasporic Music, Thursday, 8 p.m.?
8 p.m., yes.
All right, great.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. All right, that was the words from Norman Otis Richmond. I spoke with him earlier today. His reaction on the big news, Barack Obama, 44th president. And, of course, if you got anything to say, any response to what you just heard there on the Word of Mouth Wednesday, you can give us a call, 416-595-1655. That's right. We're going to open up the phone lines, 416-595-1655. We're in a situation here where the server's gone down, so I can't get to some of the some of the segments that I had lined up from past recordings that I was planning on playing. So we got some free time here. We're gonna have the phone lines open for the next few minutes. Number one topic of the day is Barack Obama and the USA. But of course, if you had any responses to NDP socialist clip, the socialism within the NDP and the candidates for Ontario NDP leader that we're talking about, that you can also give us a call. And if for more information, you can always check out the Ontario NDP website. I think they've got a whole section on the leadership on that, because that election's coming up in the spring. I know probably a lot of people are all electioned out with the Canadian election, and then we had the American election just ended. And now we got an election within the NDP. I guess it's more a party-specific election, but that's taking place, I think it's March, beginning of March is when 2009 is when they're going to be voting for a new leader. So that election will continue. I think that was the first debate that they had in Toronto. And we're going to hopefully we'll play some more of the clips from that on a future episode. And of course, Word of Mouth Wednesday, you can reach us here, CKLN's number, 416-595-1655. I think we're back to the classic number. I think the phones are working. So if you got anything to say, give us a call. We'll be standing by, but until then, we'll just throw it to a good track to remember on days like these. This one's by the Dope Poet Society featuring M1 of Dead Prez, and it's called Everything's Political, here on CKLN 88.1, Word of Mouth Wednesday. Check it out. Word of Mouth Wednesday, November 5th, 2008. Oh.
Yeah. Dope Poets and Dead Prez representatives. Professor D, M1. Everything's political, son.
When people say they don't biz with politics, that's cause they don't really get what it is. Politics is not simply about politicians. It's who's got the power to affect all conditions.
Hello, Word of Mouth Wednesday. I think we got a caller on the line. Hello.
Hi. Yeah, I just... it's your co-host, and I just I wanted to comment about the media's coverage of Obama and the election. And the interesting thing about the coverage was that there was surprisingly little coverage of reaction from African Americans during the lead up to the victory, and then after. It was extremely difficult to find African American reaction in the United States. In order to get that kind of coverage, we had to go outside. We had to look outside of the U.S. and go to the BBC, or to look to a larger media organization like the Associated Press. But within the U.S. itself, NBC, CBS, all the large networks, it was excruciating to try to find some kind of coverage of African Americans when it comes to their own election of electing the first African American president in U.S. history. I don't know if you noticed that.
Yeah, it's yeah, that's true. I know I saw some of the CNN. I know they've got Roland Martin as one of their hosts, but I guess he's always on. So
yeah, so I think the next. I mean, there's one thing is the political situation, but the next thing that's going to have to be addressed is the African-American perspective in the U.S. being, from my opinion, from the larger networks that we were following that were covering the election on the Internet, it was quite extraordinary how much the African-American perspective in the media in the U.S. is excluded unapologetically by the largest networks.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. And I do remember during the speech they cut to the shots in the crowd. They had Oprah in the crowd. They had Jesse Jackson in the crowd. But, yeah, I didn't hear too many words.
No. If you notice, most of the coverage was by white reporters, and they would be standing in a crowd, let's say, of whoever. What they would do is announce in a crowd. And there was one white reporter reporting from, I think, from a black U.S. college, who was talking about the students in front of the students, but who didn't ask them any questions. Like, well, it's going to have to be the next narrative in the U.S. is going to have to be about African American representation in the larger culture. Which for me is quite, I mean, there's representation, it could be said, on entertainment, but when it came to actual news and getting hard perspectives from African Americans, it was actually surprising to find so little coverage during this historic event in the U.S. It was actually unbelievable that ABC, CBS, these huge networks couldn't get the story.
Oh.
I mean, you'd have to go out of your way to ignore the African American reaction to the election. You really did have to go out of your way. But it seems that the structures in the U.S. are set up in such a way in the media that they can get it wrong when it's all around them. So it's something I think it was unusual. And I'm not sure if anybody else who might be listening to the program noticed the same thing that I did.
Right, yeah. Well, if anyone did, they can give us a call, 416-595-1655. And, Robin, thanks for calling in.
Hey, no problem.
I guess we'll see you next week.
Yeah.
All right, great.
Bye.
All right, peace. And that was Robin giving his thoughts on the coverage of U.S. election. Let's just get back into that track. Everything's political.
It's yourself, it's not fraud. Think for yourself or you will sink in this hell. Thinking it's well where you drink what they sell. And it's shrinking your brain cell. Until you figure it out. It's so difficult. All your problems are political.
How you eat, where you eat, what you eat.
That's political.
How you think, how you feel, how you speak.
That's political.
How you make, what you make, what you take.
That's political.
You can't escape the physical. Everything's political. What you want, what you need, what's at stake.
That's political.
If you care, what you love, what you hate.
That's political.
Follow who you lead, your beliefs.
That's political.
You can't escape the physical, everything's political.
Look, Sharpton ain't my leader. And just because I'm vegan when I'm eating, I ain't down with Peter. I'm trying to do a record with the teacher, not Paul Wall. Not cause he white, I'm just saying. Balling when the government caught you with your drawers down. Shit falling apart, and now y'all panicking. Calm down, cause Obama can't save y'all. All this drama for Osama is really to enslave y'all. Skull and bones in a shallow graveyard. Full of dead brave hearts. Tricked by the military who plays God. Inshallah, we made it this far. Political prisoner in a dream. In a dungeon screaming everything political. Nothing new under the sun. It's only two choices, fight or run. Cause see, politics is war without guns. War is politics with guns. Know what I mean? You better get one.
How you know, what you know, who you know.
That's political.
How you go, where you
Word of Mouth Wednesday. We've got, I think we got another caller. Hello, caller.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
I wanted to disagree respectfully with the last caller.
Mm.
I was watching MSNBC last night, and first of all, they had one of their regulars, Eugene Robinson, who is an African-American, who was talking in deeply about his feelings of having grown up with Jim Crow and how what this meant to him. And so I think you mentioned that you were watching the crowd while the speech was going on, and you mentioned Jesse Jackson with tears. You didn't mention, but I saw with tears in his eyes,
yep.
And Oprah Winfrey with tears in her eyes.
Yep.
And then I saw literally thousands of mainly young, but not only young, black people there, and their actions and their faces and their reactions were so much more powerful in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Than millions of words that might have been reported by the reporters. I got a very strong sense from watching the coverage And it wasn't only Eugene Robinson. I'm not very good with names, but there was a African American bishop from I think San Antonio, who they kept going back to several times, and there was one or two others, black leaders who were talked to. And so I just have to disagree, as I say, respectfully with the last caller. I was very, very deeply touched by all of that.
Right, and did you do some channel surfing, or were you mostly on?
I'm a fan of MSNBC, and I just kept it on. I just kept it there, but most of it was what I reacted to was just the way they showed the crowd during the speech and the people that were there, and the beyond enthusiasm, the tears in the eyes, and the pure joy. It was like, you know, a biblical scene of joy. Is what I saw. That's what I came away from it with.
For sure, yeah. And thanks for filling us in on that.
Okay,
all
thank
right.
you.
All
Great
right.
show.
Good to hear from you. And we're just going to get back to the... We still got a few seconds on that track here.
What you came through and what it made you.
That's political.
Can't escape the physical, everything's political. Too many feel the need to always critical. They judge, this is too political, that's not political enough. Man, my life is difficult enough. Time to give up on the grudge and start giving up some love. Our common enemies are worse than ever and will be hurt forever. Until we learn to work together, they'll continue to divide and conquer. It's a cinch. If your brother's who you're killing, this is still a bitch to Willie Lynch.
Light a dog, big or small.
That's political.
How you walk, how you talk.
That's political.
Politics is war without guns. War is politics with guns. Know what I mean? You better get one. Cause you can't fade it. It's gang truce related. We bang for tanks. It ain't no game. You can't hate it. I wanna smack Bush and his mammy. That's how we did the Haitians in Miami. That's my fam. Coupe tet.
Every drink, every meal, every quest.
That's political.
How you think, how you feel, how you dress.
That's political.
Every pig, every squeal, every death.
That's political.
Can't escape the physical. Everything's political. Every gang, every crew. Every set,
that's political.
Every bang, every truce ever said,
that's political.
Every claim of the truth ever said,
that's political.
Can't escape the physical, everything's political. Everything's political, everything's political.
Everything's political. That was M1 of Dead Prez and the Dope Poet Society dropping a track, Everything's Political. We heard from some of the, we had a few callers. We also heard... a bit earlier, we played that Ontario NDP leadership debate clip, and then we also heard from Norman Otis Richmond, a legendary CKLN host. And what we're going to do, we still got a few minute left in the show, I'm just going to make sure that I read out some of the upcoming events in the progressive community. We got Friday, November the 7th, this Friday, Educators for Peace and Justice present a public forum called War Free Schools, challenging Harper's plan to recruit Canada's youth to war, featuring Adriana Hill-Lair, a anti-war activist from Nova Scotia, speaking at the public forum and launching her book, A Mother's Road to Kandahar. That's this Friday, November the 7th at 7 p.m. at the Ryerson Student Campus Center, 55 Gould Street, the same building as CKLN, Ryerson Student Campus Center, this Friday, 7 p.m. More information at operationobjection.org. And another event, Tuesday, November the 11th, is Remembrance Day. It's an important day of commemoration, lest we forget. And there's going to be a one-night-only screening of a film called Body of War, the true story of an anti-war hero at 7 p.m. at the Bloor Cinema, 506 Bloor Street West. The film is by Ellen Spiro and Phil Donahue. For more info, check out bodyofwar.com. And that's about it for us here on the Word of Mouth Wednesday. We're just about ready to cure your music ills with the blues doctor, Julie Hill. Word of Mouth Wednesday, that's it for us. Stay tuned. CKLN Radio. Word out.